You're listening to America's Dining and Travel Guide all across the United States, right here on the Business Talk Radio Network. And speaking like right here I am at Chalet Suzanne. Chalet Suzanne is in Florida, almost in the center of the state of Florida, about 80 miles west of Vero Beach, about 50, 60 miles south of Orlando. Tell us about this place. It's been here for 75 years. It's a Florida historic landmark. It's on the National Register. How did all this start?
Well, actually, back in 1931, my husband's grandmother started the Chalet Suzanne with little or nothing but her home and her talent of cooking. And she would invite the military. Well, actually, she and her children traveled to New York. And along the way, they posted signs saying that this Chalet Suzanne was in Lake Wales, Florida. And then they came back, and the first family that arrived was a military family. Bertha entertained the adults. She cooked for them. And then the children, my father-in-law, Carl, and his sister, Suzanne, entertained the children, and they ended up staying a week.
So in the early days, I also understand somebody who was very famous, and many of our listeners out there, our older listeners would know who that would be. The younger listeners wouldn't have a clue, but his name was Duncan Hines. Yeah. And what's the story about Duncan Hines coming here?
Duncan Hines traveled around the United States and was collecting, I guess, top quality places, restaurants that he would recommend to eat at, and he ended up writing a book with the Chalet Suzanne in it. We were one of the restaurants that he recommended.
Well, another interesting part of Duncan Hines is the way he actually got started, and I happen to know that because of the material I have read here at the Chalet Suzanne, is that he started traveling and sending Christmas cards to his friends. And in the Christmas cards, he would say, well, I was here, and this was really good, and I was there, and it was really good. And they encouraged him to put all this in a book, and therefore, that's how the Duncan Hines guide got its start.
Yeah.
All right, so we go back to your husband's parents, who were really the people who got this going. And it's another interesting thing. This may be the only restaurant that I know of in the United States that you can get a guide on how to land your airplane here. And I say restaurant, I should say restaurant and inn, because there's a 2,500-foot runway out here. Mm-hmm. And that's been here from the beginning, hasn't it?
It
mostly the beginning, yeah.
Pretty much the beginning. My father-in-law had a dealership that he sold Belenka aircraft. And in order to do that, he had to have an airstrip. So that's when he put that in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm. So this guy was a really diverse person, to say the least, because it not only was he interested in aircraft and sold aircraft from here, somehow or other, he decided to make soup. Now, how did that happen?
Well, his mother, Bertha, had a recipe for romaine soup, which at that time was made with romaine lettuce. He and his wife, Vita, decided in about 1956 to start canning that particular recipe because people in the restaurant were asking them to. So in 1956, they started canning in their garage of their home. Since then, it has moved to the aircraft hangar, which was expanded and again expanded years later. And so now we have the cannery, the warehouse, and the hangar all under one roof.
At very fine restaurants around the United States, you may see soup, and they may say soup from the famous Chalet Suzanne, and it's a whole host of soups. Can you name some of the soups that are made here?
Well, we have,
of course, the romaine is the signature soup.
The romaine soup, which is also called moon soup.
And there's a reason for that.
Yes, and that it has the label moon soup also because we are kind of close to the Cape over in Cocoa Beach area. And the astronauts would fly over here and dine. And one particular astronaut, Jim Irwin, who was on Apollo 15, loved the soup. We are still great friends with his family. And the astronauts could select their menu for what they had to eat in space. So he wanted the romaine soup plus a couple of the other soups. Actually, he wanted all the Chalet Suzanne soups. And so Vita and Carl had it tested by NASA and It passed the test with having all the proper things that the astronauts needed in their diet in space, so it was freeze-dried and sent into space on the Apollo 15 and Apollo 16 and the Apollo Soyuz flights.
And there's another really interesting thing about Chalet Suzanne and the things that have taken place here. For example, after the cannery got going and during the Cold War, there was a reason to bottle or can water, would be probably more correct, and since the canning operation was here, water was canned, and maybe it could have been a whole new business for you folks at that time. So this water was canned here, and it was used for survival. Survival kits, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting part about that is there are still, and I like this story so much, there are still a couple of pallets of this left, and it's available if you'd like to buy it. I don't know why anybody would want to buy it, but it's great to have as an historic thing. But the most interesting part about it is that some of the proceeds, or a dollar or something like that, from the sale of this goes to what?
To a museum.
So the water was manufactured here, was canned here, and it was sold for these, they were kind of like MREs at that time, but anybody could go out and buy them. This was not a military product. This was for civilians who were kind of stocking up those shelters, those air raid shelters that were so popular back in the 50s. Anyway, you found this stuff later on and decided, well, there was still a little bit of it left, decided to sell it, and in the process of selling it, some of the money was then contributed to a group of guys who have I believe it's a museum of some sort or a society, and the most interesting part of it is that one of them is Nikita Khrushchev's son, who lives here in the United States, and the other is Francis Gary Powers. These two guys now today have gotten together, and they have this organization, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But I think that's a really great story. Mm-hmm. It's a terrific story. So basically, Chalet Suzanne has been in continuous operation since 1931, with a possible exception of during the war there was a fire, wasn't there?
There was a fire, but I don't think that they were actually out of business very long, because Bertha was, from what I understand, a very determined lady, and she probably recovered quickly and had herself back on the list of famous places to stop real quickly.
Well, I can tell you, when I first came down here, it was in 1954 or 55 with my folks. I was a teenager at the time, and we were driving around the state of Florida, and everywhere we went, people talked about Chalet Suzanne. Mm-hmm. And I remember stopping by here, and as I was telling you yesterday, I have a postcard from Chalet Suzanne. And if you go on the internet, by the way, I want to mention this too. If you want to know more about Chalet Suzanne, you can go onto the internet, and it's chaletsuzanne.com, chaletsuzanne.com. You can see exactly where you are. There's lots of pictures there and see everything that's going on down here. The interesting part about coming in here, as last night I was in here listening to some people talk, and they were talking about being here 20 years ago and 30 years ago, and I too was sitting around reminiscing about the times that I had been here, and I was staying, the last time I stayed here, I stayed in what we were calling the bridal suite or something, and that's the room upstairs here. And this time we're in the Orchid Suite. Describe a little bit about this sort of fairy tale land. This is not Disney fairy tale, and this isn't Mr. Five Star type of an accommodation. This is very, very cool, neat, and different. There is no place on this earth like Chalet Suzanne. Can you describe a little bit about the design of the place?
European. A lot of people think the style is European. We have a lot of little towers, we have a clock tower, we have everything is at the max of eclectic. We have every room is different, furnished with antiques. The tile on the floor is probably from Europe because Bertha did a lot of traveling. There are tiles in the wall, plates in the wall from all over the world. If we only knew all of the travel she had, and Carl, my father-in-law, just didn't remember all the places that she went, and it wasn't recorded very well, but whatever she could pick up, that's what we have here.
Well, we even noticed that the waitresses in the restaurant are dressed in some form of costume. What would you call that?
Whether it's Scandinavian or We don't know. It's another one of those Bertha things.
But it's similar to what they've been wearing ever since the place opened. They've pretty much been dressed like that?
Very much so. The only thing that I see different is they used to wear, when I started working here 20-some-odd years ago, they used to wear little hats, like nurses' hats. That's the only thing I can describe it as. They don't wear those anymore. But we have a picture of Bertha in one of those hats, and quite stylish she is.
Now, the menu, of course, is most unique. I mean, how often do you find shad roe on the menu? How often do you find lobster Newburgh on the menu? Tell our audience a little bit about the menu here at Chalet Suzanne.
We are very much American. We have anything from Chicken Suzanne, which is our signature dish. I think chicken for $59.95 is quite a pricey thing, but it's a six-course meal, and it's not like any other chicken that you can get.
You're absolutely right.
World.
I had that last night for dinner, and it was spectacular, and now I remember having it when I was here before. The menu hasn't changed a great deal in a number of years. How long has it been since it actually has changed?
Oh, my goodness. We might have added, I remember adding the vegetarian dinner not too many years ago, but the Chicken Suzanne and many of the entrees have been here for 75 years.
We'll go back and talk about more on the menu, but let's go back to the beginning of the menu, which is the signature appetizer that you get. Mm. And there's a little story behind this. Explain to our audience about the broiled grapefruit.
Okay, we're in Florida, so of course you have to have a citrus item on your menu, and we were serving the broiled grapefruit, which is not a secret recipe, but one of the events that they were having back when Carl and Vita had taken over, they were having hors d'oeuvres before, and one of the hors d'oeuvres were chicken liver, and the chicken liver did not get ready in time to be served as an hors d'oeuvre, so the first course that goes out is the broiled grapefruit, and Vita said, just put the chicken liver on top of the broiled grapefruit, and it's been that way ever since.
And it is really good. My wife had, she also had chicken livers as an appetizer last night, and the chicken livers here are marvelous, but on top of the grapefruit is really different, and you'll probably never get it anywhere else in the United States like that. And what is the non-secret recipe of the broiled grapefruit? And I know there's some sugar in there. What else is in there? Do you know?
Well, lots of sugar.
Lots of sugar?
Sugar and cinnamon.
Cinnamon, a dab
of butter in the middle. So first you sectionize the grapefruit, put the dab of butter in the center, and then sprinkle your cinnamon and sugar over the top and stick it under the broiler and do that over and over again until you have the look that you want, the golden color that you want. We do that probably 6 to 8 times.
Well, I'll tell you, folks, if you've never had broiled grapefruit, you could do it. It's not that difficult to make, and it's marvelous. It's a lot of fun to eat. Ever since the first time I've been here, I've been making it. Everybody thought, oh, Ron's really a great chef. I know, I copy everything everybody else does, but this was really marvelous, and we've always enjoyed it so much. All right, let's go back to the menu again and talk about some of the other items that are on the menu.
Okay, we have a chicken salad. Now, this is for lunch. Chicken salad, a shrimp salad, king crab thermidor, and then we repeat some of our lunch items into dinner, also just larger portions. We have the broiled shad roe.
Yep.
And the vegetarian dinner, which I mentioned, a filet mignon and a lamb chop and a double lamb chop. So the men here are very pleased when they get the double lamb chop because they are full by the time, of course, everyone is full because it's a six-course dinner.
There's no question about that. It's very difficult to come here. You want to eat everything on the menu. You want to eat everything that's presented to you. Pretty tough to do that night after night. And they do have kind of a special feature here, and that is if you stay for an extended period of time, they have the second night menu. And that's very nice to have because you don't feel like you're being force-fed, although you want to eat everything you possibly can. Let's move on to the desserts.
My favorite part of the meal, we have a Gâteau Christina, which is a dark chocolate layer with a meringue and toasted almonds layered. It's just delicious, especially for the women that love chocolate. A carrot cake that is made by our restaurant manager's mother, and we're going to keep her recipe forever and ever. We have, everything is made here on the property, chocolate mousse pie, and the latest item added to our dessert menu is a creme brulee.
Well, I have to tell you, desserts are fantastic. We had the sugarless cheesecake last night, and you say, how can you make cheesecake without sugar? Somehow you do it, and it's marvelous. Very light, and it was really good. We enjoyed it very much. We're broadcasting here from the Chalet Suzanne. Chalet Suzanne is a world-famous restaurant and inn located in a little area known as Lake Wales. So I just can't believe what's happened to this place since I first came here, because the first time I arrived here, it was completely surrounded by groves. And the next time I came back, there were a few more houses, and there were a few less groves. The groves are still here in some places, but it's really grown up immensely. It's pretty amazing. But you still have 100 acres. This is not just a little corner of the world. A whole 100 acres out here. This is terrific. You can fly into Orlando and drive down here as a destination resort. You can fly your plane into Chalet Suzanne, you can go onto the internet and check it out, and it'll give you all the instructions. I'm sitting here looking at a detailed way to land your airplane at Chalet Suzanne on the 2,500-foot runway, which is most unique. And, of course, your husband, Eric, is a pilot for United Airlines. He flies the big 747s, and he's also a very avid flyer as well. Next time we talk to you, we'll talk some more about the flying here, probably talk to Eric about some of the things that are going on, and perhaps we'll talk about the people with the soup. So, live from Chalet Suzanne, Lake Wales, Florida, this is Ron Kreider, and we'll be right back.